Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson, which was just read from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus heard the news of his cousin John's death. John, the last prophet. He was beheaded by order of Herod Antipas as a gift to his stepdaughter for her birthday dance. What had John done that angered Herod? And Herod's stepdaughter, Salome, according to Josephus, and her mother Herodotus? He had dared to proclaim that it was not lawful for you, that being Herod, to have her, that being Herodotus, as his wife. You see, Herodotus was Herod's brother Philip's wife, but Antipas had taken her to be his own. Sounds like an episode of The Young and the Restless. And I believe that's still on the TV, or internet at least. Now Jesus desires to be alone, to be with his disciples, as Mark tells us, leading Jesus and the disciples to get into a boat and seek a desolate place. Luke tells us that this place is Bethsaida, and John tells us it is on the Sea of Tiberias. So we have a pretty good idea where this all happens. Jesus simply wanted to be alone with his disciples, but best laid plans. The masses would not allow alone time, even if it meant walking around the Sea of Tiberias to get to Jesus. They were coming and bringing friends. And upon seeing the crowd, our Lord had compassion on them. Mark tells us that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. This compassion Jesus has is from the depth of his being, from his gut. Our Senate President Matthew Harrison loves getting into the Greek word splachnizomai, is what it is there in the Greek. He loves saying that word, I think, because it just sounds so graphic. It's from the bowels, from all the way down. He had compassion on them. Jesus felt pity on the crowd, so he teaches the crowd about the kingdom of God and he healed their sick. Once again, Jesus shows he is the Lord of creation, as sickness and disease disappear at his word. It is easy to understand the crowd's lack of concern with eating. This had to be something truly amazing to see. Deaf people hearing, blind people seeing, lame people walking, you name it. Jesus, the great physician of body and soul, is at work, and everybody's got a front seat. So the day gets away from them. And before you know it, it becomes evening. This is not a problem I've ever had when speaking, that the people were so enamored with my speaking that the day got away from us. No, normally by now they're already looking at their watches. I'm not going to name you, but I know who you are. This account is obviously a very important account, though, in the Scriptures. This miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, because it's the only miracle other than the resurrection that is in all four Gospels. This is no metaphor. This is not hyperbole. For had it not been true, surely one of the 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children, could have come forward and said, this never happened, and the Jewish Talmud and the Roman histories would have recorded the rejection of this fact. So when it was evening, the disciples came and said to Jesus, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away and go into the villages and buy food for them, so they can buy food for themselves. And Jesus said, they need not go away, you give them something to eat. And the disciples respond often the way the church seems to respond when questioned with a challenge from God. We don't have enough. They say, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. So Jesus says, bring them to me. Isn't it interesting to see that even in the presence of all that Jesus is doing, the fleshly reaction is to say that we don't have enough. That's what reason and logic tell us. There is never enough. This gives birth to the sin of coveting. Coveting your neighbor's stuff and your neighbor's helpers. Because the devil, that old serpent, whispers in your ear, God is holding out on you. You deserve so much more. Interestingly enough, that's the same message that communism and socialism wants to say, even though if you follow how they've ever played out, the only ones who end up with more are those who are put in leadership, and those who are on the bottom always end up with less. But this lie, it's always worked. It worked in the garden, and it's been working ever since. This temptation is the cause for all the rioting that we are watching nightly on our own TVs. And yet we as Christians are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're actually going through this in our Wednesday night Bible class right now, discussing this very topic. But when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, there has to be the question that follows. Do you truly believe that your Heavenly Father will provide? The state of the world, our homes, and even the church speaks a resounding no. This is why we see ourselves in the disciples' response. We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. Yet who can blame the disciples for their response? After all, they only had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That's not enough to feed the 12, let alone 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. Estimations are somewhere in the 10,000 mark or more. And if it was providing the meal, and if I was providing the meal, the disciples would have been correct. But I'm not. God in flesh is. He is the host of this feast. Jesus is not John back from the dead. No, He is God in flesh. And through whom all things were made. They need not go away. Give them something to eat. This, of course, gets to the root of our understanding of who Jesus is, of God's provision for us, and our trust in the Father's answer to our prayers each day. John Chrysostom writes on this text, "Note carefully the teacher's skill. Observe with what direction he draws them towards believing." He's talking about the disciples here. "Observe how deliberately this unfolds. For he did not simply say, 'I will feed them.' The deeper significance of what would have not been easily understood. So what does he say? They need not go away. You give them something to eat. He did not say, 'I give them,' but 'You give them.' For at this point, their regard for him was essentially as to a man. They said to him, 'We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. At this point, Mark adds, they did not understand the saying of their heart, for their heart was hardened. For they were continuing to crawl like babies. Here ends Chrysostom. Don't you know 5 loaves and 2 fish are more than enough in the presence of the Lord of all creation? He didn't even need them. He created everything ex nihilo, out of absolutely nothing. Bring them here to me." This might bring to memory the mighty work that God did through the prophet Elijah, this feeding. If you open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4, you can read about that. A man came from Baal Sheshah, bringing the man of God bread and of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elijah said, "Give to the men that they may eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 men? So he repeated, Give them to the men that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. Now, one far greater than Elisha, any prophet, is present. Jesus, the Word made flesh, is here, and when God speaks, things happen. Stuff comes into being. Creation comes into existence. Manna feeds the children in the wilderness. Water bursts forth from rock, and they drink. Even their clothes don't wear out, or their shoes. God provides through His Word and promise, just as He promised to provide the Messiah to deliver sinners like Adam and Eve and the disciples and you and me. Here the prophecy of Isaiah in our Old Testament lesson is fulfilled. Without money, the children of Israel are fed. This feeding takes place beside the still waters of the shore of the Sea of Tiberias as He leads them to sit in the green pastures of Bethsaida. Here is the Good Shepherd Jesus. And not only does He feed His sheep who He had pity on, there's enough left over for all the children of the promise. For there are 12 baskets full left over of broken pieces. The number 12 is not just a random thing here, for it is an interesting number in the Bible. Remember, you have 12 tribes of Israel and 12 disciples, and on Judgment Day there will be 12 judges. 12 is one of those numbers that point us to God's completeness. So it's not a random chance. All of the other gospel writers, along with Matthew, record this. And Matthew's readers would have known that the 12 is an inclusive number that would have been enough for everyone who was reading, just like us. It's enough for me, and it's enough for you. So Jesus takes the food and blesses it. And He has the disciples distribute this God-given food, and a miracle happens. 5,000 plus ate and were satisfied. It's no stretch to say that this language should bring to our mind the Lord's Supper. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and He broke the loaves and gave it to them, and the disciples gave it to the crowds. As He was speaking in the upper room the night that the Lord was betrayed, He gives thanks, breaks the bread, and gives it to the disciples. Take, eat, this is My body given for you for the remembrance in the remembrance of Me. Jesus gives His own body and blood in with and under the bread and wine for us to receive today for the forgiveness of our sins. Another miracle. Today in our text, our Lord gives thanks with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and feeds the masses. And He has leftovers. And today, He offers you His body and blood in with and under the bread and wine, and there will be leftovers. Enough for all who want to come. All who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all who have been taught and catechized, all who examined themselves and repented of their sins, the body and blood of Christ are for them. So today in God's house, we give thanks to God for Jesus, and we receive His meal that He prepared. Today our Lord speaks through His servant, His word of forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. So don't just nibble in doubt. Take Jesus at His word, and you too can be satisfied. For this meal is Jesus given and shed for you. This meal gives you the crucified and risen body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, binding us together as one family, one body with Christ Jesus as our head. Taste and see, the Lord is most definitely good. Not only does He feed your body, He forgives our sins, making us whole and giving us eternal life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.